Well, good morning, everyone. It is nice to be back in the building, isn't it? Yes, last week we had to go online simply because I had been in quarantine. And that was unfortunate. I want you to know I never got the virus. I felt fine the whole time. It was just a safety precaution that we had to take. But that also meant that this week was interesting because we had Thanksgiving this week. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving? Okay, good. Jen and I decided to sort of delay ours a little bit, if you will. We were going to go to my parents, and we decided that since I'd been in quarantine that recently and with everything going on, we elected not to. But we still had a really good Thanksgiving because we live very close to Publix. I went to Publix, and I got burgers to grill, a dish of mac and cheese to put in the oven, carrot cake, ice cream, and we had a wonderful Thanksgiving. May not have been traditional, but we had it. What was funny was that was our dinner, but for lunch on Thanksgiving Day, don't judge, but we had nothing in the house. So Jen and I went riding around looking for some place to have lunch. And would you believe that Taco Bell was closed for lunch on Thanksgiving Day? That is just wrong, you know? So we're driving around looking for some place that is open, and we see there's a line of cars outside of McDonald's. So we go over and we pull into the line at the drive-thru at McDonald's. And there's like seven or eight cars over a couple different lanes, and it's just not moving at all. And finally we give up, and we go, and on our way out, we drive by and we look. There's nobody in the window. McDonald's was closed too. We had two lines of cars just sitting there waiting for nobody. And Jen and I thought this was a perfect example of some kind of like those psychology experiments that you read about like in college where they made just to see how long people would wait, you know? Like no one ever speaking to anyone, they're all just sitting in line because somebody followed the other one in line and just assumed it was open. So Jen, being nice, decided to drive back around, roll her window down, and tell people that it's closed. And I'm not kidding you, the look that they gave us as she tried to explain, it looks like, are you trying to steal our spot in line? No. I could take your spot in line. It wouldn't do me any good. There's no one there. So long story short, McDonald's and Taco Bell were closed for Thanksgiving lunch. And the world was a sadder place. But Thanksgiving is over now. And we are moving our way into Christmas. And you may have noticed that things have changed around this building. Our crew that did the decorating did an outstanding job. The stage looks amazing. And they decorated the church. So thank you guys. All those who helped, you know who you are. I'm not going to try to name you because I will forget somebody. But I appreciate it. And beyond that, you should know that our new series that we're working through is called Joy to the World. And I find that an interesting theme because I look around at the world and while I know that there's joy, I don't necessarily see a lot of happiness right now. If you pay attention to the news or simply you have people in your life and you watch them, you know that happiness might be a little bit harder to come by. And so what I want to know, is it possible to declare joy to the world and people still be unhappy sometimes? And what does that look like for us as Christians celebrating this season of Christmas? And so the first thing that I want to do is to try to make a distinction between two very similar but often confused concepts. And those concepts are joy and happiness. See, I think that it is helpful for us if we can describe joy and happiness as different things. Because to me, joy is a biblical concept that's rooted deeply in Scripture and in our hearts, leading us to a long-lasting, long-term, deep-seated, steady sense of joy. Versus happiness, which is shorter term, which is shallow, which is based on the circumstances around us and which fluctuates over time. Joy is the deep-seated joy within us. Happiness is a short-term, shallower emotion that goes up and down and fluctuates with time. And when Jesus came, He brought joy to the world, but He wanted to bring more so joy than happiness. And understanding that difference is really important if we are going to talk about joy to the world as a meaningful aspect of Christmas. And so to kick off this series and to begin to delve into this idea of the difference between joy and happiness, I would like to look at a passage that to me explains a lot of why people are struggling to find happiness these days and hopefully give a bit of the Christian alternative. And so, if you've got your Bibles, I would love for you to open up to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, if you did not bring your Bibles, I'll give you this one and only chance to open your phone and look it up. I think we are missing it on the screen so far. We may pick it up later in the service. But we are in Mark chapter 4, and we're just going to begin in verse 35. And we're going to read this story. That day when evening came, He, that is Jesus, said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. They're crossing over the Sea of Galilee. There were other boats with Him. Verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, this is a remarkable story. This is a story that will make you wonder, what in the world was Jesus thinking, right? I mean, the disciples are traveling. They're going to go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And so they get in this boat, and as they're riding on this boat, this huge storm comes up. And it's big waves, and it's rocking the boat back and forth. It's frightening. I mean, even Peter and John were experienced fishermen. So for them to be frightened in a storm shows you just how serious it was. The storm rises up. They're terrified. And what is Jesus doing? He's asleep. And when you read that, your first instinct is to go, that is absurd. Like, how do you sleep in a boat that's rocking that hard, right? And as we've sort of mentioned a couple of times, when something appears absurd in a story about Jesus, there's usually a lesson in there somewhere. And so the absurdity is that Jesus is asleep in this boat in the middle of this storm. And I think that is weirdly, perhaps, relatable to you. Have you ever felt like God was asleep when you were going through a storm in your life, right? Something's going on in your life, and you're looking up to the heavens, and you're like, "Hello, I'm drowning down here, God. Do you even care what's going on?" That's a common question that people feel sometimes when people go through storms in their lives. Whatever it is that happens for you, we all sometimes feel like we're in the middle of this hurricane. And so maybe we can assume either God doesn't care and He's sleeping on the job, or maybe, as in the case of Jesus, we have something to learn from this absurdity in the story. And so we keep going, right? We pick up at verse 39. He, that is Jesus, got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey Him?" So it ends, as you may have heard the story before, Jesus calms the storm with a few simple words. And at the end of it, the disciples are even more terrified than they were in the middle of the storm. because this man just stopped the waves himself. And then he asked them a question. Another thing we know is when Jesus asks a question, it's always important. When Jesus asks a question, it's always poignant. And so Jesus looks at them and says, "Do you still have no faith? Why didn't faith keep you from being so frightened?" And when I look at our situation, and I look at the storms in our life, and the feeling that God isn't there, and what if He looked at us and said, "Well, why isn't your faith helping?" And honestly, part of me wants to react to that and say, "Well, how is faith supposed to help anything, right? What will faith alone fix? God, I need You to act. I need You to make a difference." And so, in order to talk about that and to piece all these things together, I need to take a moment and define what I think faith means. And this is my definition. I'm not pulling this directly out of a scripture. This is my understanding of scripture as a whole, but this is how I like to think about it. Faith. Faith is the stubborn insistence that because I believe everything will be well in the last day, that I can trust God on this day. Let me repeat that. Faith is a stubborn insistence that because I believe all will end well on the last day, then I have to trust God on this day, even if it looks bad at the moment. So, whether there's waves going all around you, whether you're in the middle of a storm, you have this faith that says that because I believe it is well on the last day, I can trust God on this day. And even though it looks bad, I know that it is okay. And this year, for many of us, has probably felt like a furious squall. Perhaps the most insignificant storm in our lives. What with COVID-19 and everything else going on in the world, some of us feel tossed around by the waves of this world. And it's very hard to find temporary happiness in that circumstance right now, because we're constantly pulling on the sails and throwing things overboard and yelling at one another and panicking and looking up at the heavens and saying, "God, You want to lend a hand?" And so long as we're running around in the middle of this storm, we're going to struggle to find that temporary happiness. But God's silence in the moment is not evidence that He is asleep or doesn't care. In fact, He's urging us to lean into faith just a little bit more. Because the difference in this storm in the lives of every one of the disciples and every storm prior to this point in their lives is that now the Son of God is literally in the boat with them. And every storm they'd ever gone through prior to that, that was not the case. But now, the Son of God is in the boat with them. That is why faith should make a difference. If God is in the boat with you, what are you so afraid of? What did you think was going to happen? Why are you so shocked that this man can calm the waves in a moment? What were you so afraid of? And here is bringing it all around. I know I'm taking a while to get there, but let's bring this around. Here's why Christmas matters. Because Christmas is the declaration that God is still in the boat with us. That's why it matters. Because when God came down through His Son, incarnate as a child, as a baby, and then grew into a man and underwent the things that He went through, we know that He was literally in a boat in the middle of the storm with other men. And He continues to be in the storm with us no matter what is going on. Which is why faith matters, which is why Christmas matters, which is why we don't have to panic in the middle of a storm. And that's why, although we may not be happy in the moment, we have joy. Because we know that everything ends well on the last day, therefore we can trust God on this day, and we know that to be true because God is in the boat with us. What is that that word Emmanuel we often sing at Christmas time? What does that mean again? Anyone know? God with us. Christmas is the declaration that God is in the boat with us. And yes, that should change how we respond to storms. So whatever you are going through, know that God never promised you would not go through that storm. It's just that He promised He'd be with you if you did. And Christmas is this powerful reminder that the presence of God in every moment is a game changer. History is literally divided by that. That God's presence makes all the difference in the world. Hence Christmas matters. Hence we have B.C. and A.D. before Christ and in the year of our Lord. Because in this moment, God is with us. Another Christmas phrase I love to hear passed around. You've heard this one. Peace on earth, right? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. I love that phrase. But let me just go a little further with this in that. Because to me, long-lasting joy, as opposed to short, temporary happiness, is very dependent upon us reaching peace in our soul. And by reaching peace in our soul, we have to do that through our faith that we can trust God on this day, because all will end well on the last day. And because we have to remind ourselves that He is always present with us in the boat. Because otherwise, without believing those things, life will leave us all terrified. I mean terrified. With the tossing waves and everything going on around us, we can either live in fear forever or we can find peace in our soul. And that may be the way the world feels right now, terrifying. But if we can bring ourselves to a point of peace based in our faith in God and His presence with us, that we can change our worry about temporary happiness into full-time joy, no matter the circumstances. As I like to say sometimes, and I've used this before in the past, but I like to say that the opposite of fear is peace, not courage. I say that again. The opposite of fear is peace, not courage. You see, courage is a fine word, I suppose. I mean, it'll allow you to do great things. But peace, having peace in your heart no matter what's going on, peace will let you fall asleep like a baby in the middle of a storm. Peace means that no amount of chaos can keep you up all night and occupy your mind so that you have no rest. Peace means that nothing could ever steal your deep-seated joy. Peace means that nothing can drive you off-center or cause you to panic. Peace is a superpower. To have peace in your heart and your soul, honestly, someone who truly possessed that would be terrifying. Remember how they were more frightened at the end of the story than they were in the middle of the storm? Would you be scared of someone so profoundly at peace that they could literally sleep in the middle of the storm? They were that powerful, knew how they were comfortable in life. Would you be frightened of someone if their faith was so strong that nothing ever seemed to disrupt them or take them off their center? And imagine this, what if you knew someone and everything was going wrong in their life and they still seemed more interested in you than in talking about their problems? Wouldn't that be incredible? That person, you would almost balk at them. You see, peace changes things. And because we know that God is with us, that means we can proclaim during this season joy to the world. God is with us, Emmanuel. He is in the boat. And we can proclaim joy to the world. It's not the same as being always happy. Because sadness was made by God too. And it has these moments that it has to be expressed. But deep-seated joy rooted in our faith changes the way we go through sadness, anxiety, fear, worry, and everything else. Because joy outlasts them all. And it is deeper in our heart and in our soul. It also means that the superpower that we call inner peace is available to everyone. Peace on earth, as they say. And no matter what you are going through, remember that God is in the boat with you. That is the message of this season. So what's the worst that can happen? God has already come down to earth and He is already with us. So you want to know my application for this sermon? This is really going to be a challenge. I want you guys to really listen up and listen to this application, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Sometime this holiday season, go home and sleep like a baby. Take a nap. That's my application. Now, I know this is ridiculous, but if you do, if you can put down all the chaotic planning and the baking and the ordering presents online and organizing get-togethers and stressing over bills and making sure the lights get up and all that stuff, if in the middle of the storm you choose peace over panic, then in that moment you will be powerful because you will be practicing faith in God Himself, who is powerful beyond imagination, who can calm any storm in your life with or without your help, who has the power to calm waves and end storms with a sentence, a God who is powerful enough to have it under control, so that in you can be an everlasting peace, and beyond that a deep-seated joy that knows that God is with you no matter what it looks like right now. And your faith prevails, because even though it looks bad right now, you can trust God right now, because you've already declared that you believe Him for the last day. So why not this day? And yes, faith, I called it a stubborn insistence. It is. It's stubborn. Not in the sense that you know, I preach the sermons that say, no, you need to be open-minded and listen to other ideas and allow yourself to grow in your faith and be challenged. It's not stubborn like that, like you won't listen to anyone else. It's stubborn like, guys, we can't panic right now, because we've already said we believe in an Almighty God who has it under control. And yes, I know the waves are coming over the boat. I mean, obviously, we can see that, right? And I know, the water is cold, and I know, this other guy over here is throwing the food overboard. I don't know why. But guys, I'm telling you, we can relax. That's the kind of stubborn insistence of faith. I don't care what is going on around us. Faith means joy prevails and peace reigns because God is with us. So your application is to go home and do your superpower. Find peace in your heart and your soul. That means coming to an absolute faith in Christ and finally deciding that you're giving your life to Him, then please, please come see me. If that means recommitting yourself to your faith and you want to talk to someone about that, please come see someone. If that means that you simply need to go home and take a nap and reaffirm how much you believe God has it under control, then please, please do that. But whatever you do, take time this season to live within joy. Not always happiness, but stubborn joy. Joy that says nothing is throwing me off my center, because I know who's in the boat with me. Because all will be well in the last day, we can trust God on this day. And no storm will ever change my mind about that. And that is why I feel that I can have joy this holiday season, and why I assure you that you can as well. Because it may be hard to find happiness right now, but your joy is very secure. And by the grace of God, when we sing joy to the world, we mean it. God in heaven, I thank you for sending your Son down to earth to experience the things we experience so that we could know that you're not far off in some distant place, not caring or sleeping on the job. You are, in fact, in the boat with us. And God, I don't know everyone's situation. I know the generic situation of the world is stressful. And I know that there are a lot of individuals going through difficult things. And I know that we have so many people to pray for, but I fear that much of the world feels like it's in the middle of a storm. And I just ask as boldly as I can, with whatever faith I can muster and all the power that you have, that you give us peace right now. That even in this moment, we can exhale a breath and just know that you are here with us. God, it is difficult to have a faith that trusting, but it is biblically true and powerful. So teach us to trust you like that. Teach us to sleep in the middle of a storm. And if the rest of the world wonders how we can do that, let us simply remind them of Christmas. Because Emmanuel, God, you are with us. We thank you and love you. In your Son's amazing name we pray. Amen. Every week, we take a moment to jump to the end of the story. Even as we celebrate the birth of Christ, we take a moment to make sure we always remember the other part of the story. But after that baby grew up, he went on to live this perfect, amazing life where he healed people and taught things and challenged the system at hand and brought people to a truer faith and launched this movement. But at the end, when they arrested him and told Rome that he was a threat to the empire because he claimed he was a king, which was absurd, They mocked him with robes and a crown of thorns stuck into his head, and they mockingly, you know, knelt in front of him and called him King of the Jews and then whipped him. And over again, they mocked him for claiming that he had a kingdom, when all along he never meant he had a physical one, he meant he had a spiritual one. Because after he died on the cross, which paid a price for our sins, he then went and rose to life, showing a connection as he went into that spiritual kingdom and allowed us to follow him there one day. And it's an amazing, amazing story that begins with Christmas but ends with just absolute triumph. And when we take this moment that we call communion and we hold in our hands the body and blood of Christ, which is for us, it's just a piece of bread reminding us of the body of Christ, and a cup of juice reminding us of the blood of Christ, it helps us tell that story again. So that in one moment we're looking at a manger, and when we're thinking about the birth of Christ, in the next moment we're thinking about his rebirth into a more spiritual existence and our desire to get there one day. We're thinking about the eternal life. And because of that, we have peace on earth, joy to all men. And because of that, all of this matters. And I pray that when you take that bread and that juice, that you take a moment to reflect on how you're living in the shadow of that event and how it's changing you day by day with more and stronger faith.